From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues his series in the book of Joshua, Dr. Cairns takes as his text verse 45 of chapter 21. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Now an old man, Joshua looked back over his life of service to the Lord. His experiences included the deliverance from the bondage of Egypt, the passage of the Red Sea, the wilderness wanderings, and eventually the crossing of the Jordan and the conquest of the Promised Land. He was able to testify that the Lord had been faithful to His word in all of those long years. From Joshua's words of testimony, Dr. Cairns will draw some encouraging lessons for both the unsaved as well as for the saints of God. We'll see that lost sinners may cast themselves with confidence upon God's offer of salvation in Christ. Then God's people can pray with the assurance that God will answer their prayers. Finally, God's servants may serve the Lord with confidence that their work for Him will be blessed and rewarded. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message entitled, The Lord's Faithfulness. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
Today's text is found in 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 48. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they went not, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber. Solomon's ships had returned in safety, but Jehoshaphat's vessels never reached the land of gold. Providence prospers one and frustrates the desires of another in the same business and at the same spot. Yet the great ruler is as good and wise at one time as another. May we have grace today in the remembrance of this text to bless the Lord for ships broken at Ezion-Geber, as well as for vessels freighted with temporal blessings. Let us not envy the more successful, nor murmur at our losses as though we were singularly specially tried. Like Jehoshaphat, we may be precious in the Lord's sight, although our schemes end in disappointment. The secret cause of Jehoshaphat's loss is well worthy of notice, for it is the root of very much of the suffering of the Lord's people. It was his alliance with a sinful family, his fellowship with sinners. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 37 we are told that the Lord sent a prophet to declare, Because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works. This was a fatherly chastisement, which appears to have been blessed to him. For in the verse which succeeds our morning's text, we find him refusing to allow his servants to sail in the same vessels with those of the wicked king. Would to God that Jehoshaphat's experience might be a warning to the rest of the Lord's people to avoid being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. A life of misery is usually the lot of those who are united in marriage or in any other way of their own choosing with the men of the world. Oh, for such a love to Jesus, that like him we may be holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. For if it be not so with us, we may expect to hear it often said, The Lord hath broken thy works.
Oh,
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost, but down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved, times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Many of you were wondering, no doubt, when I dealt with chapter 20 and the cities of refuge, well, what's she going to do with chapter 21 with all these cities of the Levites? Well, actually, I'm leaving most of the chapter out, but that's not because there's not much to say on it. It's just to say that we do want to finish the book of Joshua before we finish the millennium. What I want to do this morning is to read the last three verses of the chapter and then take the final verse as the particular words of our text. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Especially the words of that 45th verse. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. The famous English Baptist preacher Alexander McLaren describes a pyramid in Egypt with the name of the Pharaoh in whose reign it was erected emblazoned on the plaster. However, as the years went by, time and weather worked their will, as it were, and the plaster fell off. When it did so, there was discovered, cut deep into the rock, the name of the architect who had raised this great edifice. When we read of the conquest of Canaan, we see, as it were, first of all, the plaster. We see the actions of a host of brave men, men like Joshua and Caleb, the amazing Caleb, who was as strong to go out and come in victory after a battle at the age of 85 as he had been as a young man. We see the actions of men like Othniel and the other great commanders and courageous soldiers of the people of Israel. But when the plaster, as it were, falls away, we find that the real architect of Israel's victories was not Joshua or Caleb or any of the other brave commanders or soldiers. The architect of Israel's victories was the Lord. And that is the real significance of our brief Bible reading this morning. The lesson shouldn't be lost on us. You see, more than ever today, I think we tend to make too much of men. Now, let's understand, obviously, the Scriptures want us to be realistic. And they tell you, honor to whom honor. They say that we should give honor to the elders that rule well, and especially those who labor in the word and in doctrine. So the Bible understands that the work of God is carried on in the hands of men. But we ought not to spend too much time elevating man. We tend to focus so much on the actions of man that we lose sight of the real architect of our success. This is true when we look at church history. We have to admit there have been some mighty men. Men of tremendous intellect. Men of tremendous courage. Has there ever been another man like Martin Luther? despite all that has been said about him in recent days, which merely goes to prove that for all his greatness, he was a child of his age, with all the weaknesses of a German in those days. But has the world ever seen another man like Luther? I don't think so. Has the world ever seen another evangelist really like William Farrell, in his way a unique preacher? Has the world ever seen an evangelist, a pastor, a theologian like the great Calvin? I don't think it ever has, and I doubt if it ever will. And yet, behind the men, there stood the Lord. When you look at apostles, the church fathers, the reformers, and great missionaries, men who have done great works for God, we have got to understand that the real architect of their success was their Savior. And you know, that is not only a rebuke to us for making too much of man and too little of the Lord, it is an encouragement to us that the Lord can take the weak things. What was Martin Luther when God took him up? Martin Luther, yes, he was a man of enormous intellect, but in reality, he was a little monk in an Augustinian monastery, in an outpost of the Holy Roman Empire, in a place that papal Rome hardly knew existed. And yet that little monk shook the world for God. You see, what an encouragement it is. This comes again and again through history. What was William Carey, the father of the modern missionary movement, the man whom God used perhaps more than any other to stir up the spirit of his church to reach out to the millions of the world's lost? What was William Carey? William Carey was undoubtedly a great preacher and a courageous man, but his position in England was he was a cobbler. He had barely enough money to feed himself week to week. He didn't have the acclaim of this world, but behind him he had the King of Glory. What an encouragement. So often we look out on the world and we say, what can I do? What can I do? I don't have great brains. I don't have great accomplishments. I am not blessed with such tremendous skills. What can I do? And the answer is, when Paul asks the question, who is sufficient for these things? He answered in the next breath, our sufficiency is of Christ. And he who took 12 Galilean fishermen, well, more likely 11, since one was not a Galilean, and with them shook the world, he can take us. Because he is the true author of the success of his people. Now that encouragement leads us to grasp a much wider significance for the text. Wider than the bare fact that the Lord is the true author of his people's success. And it's this wider significance of the text that I want us today to examine. Joshua was an old man when he wrote the words of this verse. This verse is a reflection by an old man of an experience that lasted through a very long life of service. Joshua had heard the Lord's promise when Israel was in the land of Egypt, saying, I have seen the affliction of my people, I have heard their cry, and I have come down to deliver them. He had seen the Lord's miracles there in the land of Egypt, as he sent one plague after another in order to lead the people out of the land. He had eaten the Lord's Passover. He had crossed through the Red Sea, dry shod. He had known the Lord's provision for himself and for the people in the wilderness. He had been with Moses as his servant. When Moses went up into Mount Sinai to converse with the Lord and to receive the law of God, he had taken over the leadership of the land of Israel, or should I say the people of Israel, upon the death of Moses. He had led the people over Jordan and into the promised land, and then from victory to victory over one strong enemy after another. Finally, he had seen them settled as possessors of the land, even though, as chapter 23 makes clear, there was still much land to be actually taken in possession. Now, in our text, this old man, after such a varied experience, surveys the vast panorama of his life, and as he tries to sum up all his experiences, Joshua said, "There field not aught or anything of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." The simple yet glorious message of that text is that the Lord keeps His word and fulfills His promise. The Lord keeps His word and fulfills His promise. As I looked at this text, it seemed to me to be an aged saint's testimony to the unfailing faithfulness of the Lord to His word and to His people. And as I thought of that, it came home to my heart that there is something here for every one of us in this meeting this morning. And I want to take something for each of us. I want to take three very simple truths and lessons we can gather from this basic fact. First, those who are unsaved, men and women who are still in their sins, who have no preparation to meet God, whose consciences are not yet at rest, who are truly lost. Men and women who are yet lost may cast themselves with confidence upon the Lord's promise of salvation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.